of what everybody should be talking about on this first Friday is the Most Holy Eucharist. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I really do expect you to light up every single phone line plus so that we can shout to the world how we feel as Catholic Christians about the Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian life. So today is the Real Presence on this first Friday on the feast day of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And I'll also be sharing more about Mother Teresa, which is just some beautiful stories I remember for when from when she visited Arizona many years ago, when she was walking among us here and doing her ministry work. And she absolutely loved the Eucharist. So, guys, let's go. Everybody stop what you're doing. Don't get started with your weekend yet. I really do need your participation today. So light up every single phone line. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. If you love the Eucharist, then this is your show. This is the time to share with the world any stories that you have about learning more about the Eucharist, falling in love with the Eucharist, having a Eucharistic miracle experience. Has that ever happened to you? We would love to hear from you. So please, anywhere in the world that you are listening, just call this number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Matt on the phones. He is ready to answer your call. Michael's at the controls, doing a fine job. Pedro is on social media. I would wave to you today, but I'm having difficulty with my left eye again, so I had to go to the doctor yesterday. It's really a situation that they're monitoring for the next 6 to 8 weeks, so again, I'm in need of prayers. So I brought the prayer book out. So, and please, if you have any anything you want us to pray for or you want us to join you in prayer, this is the show to do it. We believe in the power of prayer. We live on prayer and we do experience it together as the Take Two family. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, and also my personal page, Debbie Giorgiani. Jerry Usher has a page as well. Please like us there. We're posting some important announcements that are coming up for people to connect with us. So we really want you to like us on Facebook. That's a great way for us to keep the community together. Jerry and Debbie Facebook page is the handle. And then my personal page, Debbie Giorgiani. Please follow me there. Okay, so the Eucharist, the Most Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amazing, absolutely amazing. And we know that Mother Teresa, as a saint, St. Teresa of Calcutta, as she always loved and absolutely wanted to spread the understanding of the Eucharist. So I'll share a little story with you. If you know, I probably am going to miss some of the details, but this is the gist of the story. When she visited Arizona many years ago on a tour with John Paul II, there was a big mass that was being held in downtown Phoenix at the Basilica, a big mass. And I did not go to the mass. I saw her in the stadium when she appeared there, but I did not go to the mass because I knew it was just going to be really, really crowded. It's a small area. It's difficult parking. And Mother Teresa was transported to the mass by people that I worked with in the church on different buses and different cars, like a caravan. And they got to the Basilica, and the mass was getting ready to start. Well, clearly there was way more people attending the mass than there was room in the church. Okay. So, you know, that's a good problem to have. However, but for Mother Teresa, I'm so sorry. My alert just went off. Okay. So for Mother Teresa, it was very unsettling. The mass started at the Basilica in Phoenix, and there were a ton of people outside trying to capture a glimpse of Mother Teresa. And the mass started, the procession began down the aisle. And instead of Mother Teresa getting herself in a good position, you know, spiritually for mass, she jumped up and literally started running around the Basilica, opening up the windows and doors so that the people from outside could see what was happening as mass was starting. I mean, this little tiny nun running around, opening up windows and doors, and people didn't know what to make of it. They were kind of shocked. Mother Teresa was running around, but she could not let people be shut out of experiencing our Lord. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Think about that for a moment. You know, we are so blessed to get a seat in the church and to sit there and to participate at Mass, right? And so we do our thing, right? We do our thing as Catholics. We go there, we worship God, and we go to and participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But for Mother Teresa, all she could think about was people were going to be left out. People were going to not be able to see. And she wanted that so badly. Now that to me is just an amazing grasp and understanding of what we do with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, how we worship God, how we take God inside of us with the most holy Eucharist. I get tears in my eyes every time I think of that story. And every time it's told to me, I want to hear it again and again and again, because I just am like, I hope and pray that we can have just a little bit of that, what Mother Teresa had, that sense of just deep, profound understanding and love for the Eucharist and love for all of humanity. I mean, and really taking care of those that you know, seem to be left behind, right? Because that's how she felt, obviously, when she's going to jump up and open the doors and windows so everybody can see. She didn't want anyone left behind. What a beautiful story. And I love sharing it. I do need to go back into the archives. I think there is a video of the youth minister that traveled or was her escort. And there actually is a YouTube video. I have to find it. If I can find it, I will post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because there's other stories about Mother Teresa that are just so incredible. But I would really love to hear from you. I want to hear your love, your heart for the Eucharist. You know, we're coming up and we're going to get to experience the canonizations of two great holy men, Pier Giorgio Frassati and Blessed Carlo Acutis. And we know that Blessed Carlo loved the Eucharist so very, very much with his Eucharistic miracle exhibit. Maybe you attended one of those exhibits. Please call in and share with the world what your experience was. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. The real presence today on this first Friday of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking about the Most Holy Eucharist. If you have a Eucharistic miracle story, an experience, and a question, an understanding of the Eucharist, you've received the Eucharist at Mass and you had a different feeling as you took the Lord inside of you. I mean, how beautiful is that? I hope everyone can still make a First Friday Mass today. It would be just amazing, especially on this feast day of Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And it's in the real presence. Okay, very good question. We just got a question that came in. What is the real presence? That's that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Okay, communion, what you receive at Mass. Okay, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Okay? Absolutely amazing. It is true. You receive body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Holy Eucharist when you consume the host, when you are in adoration, Eucharistic adoration, when you are adoring the host in the monstrance. It is Jesus truly present. Please use the word truly. Okay, so when you talk about the real presence, say he is absolutely truly present. It is important we get that message out to the world, because the world wants to lie to us, wants to tell us things that we don't even believe. They just try to tell the world what we as Catholics believe. It's not true, folks. What's true is that Jesus is truly present in the Most Holy Eucharist. All you have to do is talk to people who go to Mass, daily Mass goers, regular Mass goers. You will see and you will hear stories. that'll blow your mind of what they experience, because they are regular. They go to Mass on a regular basis, a daily basis. They are very active in adoration. It is incredible. And I know you guys have stories. I know there are things that you can share today to make a difference in this world. Guys, we got to use this time wisely. So please call in and share something from your heart. If you don't want to use your real first name, that's fine. Use your confirmation name. Use a name that you wish you were always called. Like, you know, you say to your parents, why didn't you name me this? Go ahead. That's totally fine. But we just like to call you by first name. I know Matt's ready to answer your calls. Please don't get started with your weekend yet. I got a lot to share for this show. I love this feast day, St. Teresa of Calcutta. She's one of our powerhouse saints we pray to before each and every episode of Take Two. We've been doing that for 10 years. It's just so amazing. And we love her, Mother Teresa. She just was incredible. I love the Express Novena, the Flying Novena, 9 memoraries. And then you say one memorare to thank Our Lady for letting that petition be heard and fulfilled. It's just so beautiful. So Mother Teresa has so many great stories. And maybe there's a quote or a story you'd like to share. You're welcome to do that. I shared a story about how she had such a deep love for the Mass and for the Eucharist that she didn't want anyone to be closed out, anyone to be left behind. And this happened in Phoenix many, many years ago. And it just was an incredible story. I love hearing that story. Maybe it's the first time you heard that story, or you have an encounter or story of seeing Mother Teresa as she toured the U.S., it would be incredible for you to share that. Maybe you went to a Eucharistic miracle exhibit. Blessed Carlo Acutis, he put those all together at his young age before he died at 15 years old. And by the way, folks, please stay tuned in to EWTN all throughout the canonization. It is going to be amazing. I mean, so many people went over to Italy to take part in this. I wish I could have been there if I didn't have the eye issues. I would have loved to have been there at the canonizations of Pier Giorgio Frassati and Blessed Carlo Acutis. Maybe you have something to say about attending a Eucharistic miracle exhibit. Or how about you just came into the church and you worked your way into the church and you absolutely realize all those years that you had missed out. Okay, it's not a symbol. Jesus is truly present. I cannot get passionate enough about this, guys. We've got to be able to shout this to the world, especially our youth, that so many of them are falling away because they're like, maybe I won't go to Mass this weekend, or oh, who cares? What's the difference? You know, there is a difference. And we really have to instill that in the conversations and the stories that we share through Take Two. If you can help us, call in 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Matt is on the controls. Matt's answering the phones. Michael's on the controls and Pedro's on social media. Okay, I'm going to be getting to calls in just a moment. Please, there's an open phone line for you. Wanted to share a couple things with you. Faith and the emotions. How to open your heart to God's transforming grace, peace, and happiness by Father Wojciech Giertych. Father Wojciech Giertych, theologian to the papal household, equips you to develop a healthy functioning of your emotions through a deeper encounter with God. Through the advice of St. Thomas Aquinas and other great spiritual masters, Father Giertych names and explains the reality of emotions to help form young adults to grow in virtue, develop mature identities, and be freed from painful anxieties and emotional entanglements. Faith and the Emotions, How to Open Your Heart to God's Transforming Grace, Peace, and Happiness by Father Wojciech Giertych. Available at EWTNRC.com. And please start checking out EWTNRC.com because Christmas is right around the corner and there's some great gifts. I just picked up some beautiful gifts for two couples that just had babies. And there's some really cool kids gifts at EWTNRC.com. Okay, I'm going to get to the phones in just a moment. Matt's very busy screening calls. We do have one open phone line. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to talk about the Eucharist today, would you do it? Please. please pick up the phone and dial in. Tell your story, because you're going to help many souls today with what you share. It just happens. I posted this all over Facebook last night. Okay. The Take Two family is growing. It's getting bigger and bigger, and more people are coming into the family. I love that. And more are sharing their stories so that they can help change the world, change the culture. And that's what we do here. This is a very unique platform. It doesn't happen a lot. If you just look at some of the programming schedules and the grids, it doesn't happen. This is a very unique program. It's not about you calling up and asking a question and I give you the answer and you go on your merry way. This is about you being the teachers, you being the catechists, and you having a voice. And I just love that EWTN supports this format so that we all as the laity can come together and share our journeys and our ups and downs and twists and turns together. I just love it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Okay, we're going to go to Barbara first in Douglasville, Georgia, listening on The Quest. Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm glad to finally get through to you.
Well, we're glad you did too. You go right ahead.
Well, I'm calling you because I attend daily mass. Mm-hmm. I attend Saturdays and Sundays. And during the week, we pray the rosary before mass. After mass, I lead the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Mm-hmm. We pray for the sick, suffering, and dying, especially those who will die today unprepared for death. And we also added for the victims of the violence in the world and for their offenders, because if the offenders will repent, we won't have any more victims. And I have a question. My pastor is from Brazil, and he had to go home to renew his visa, and we only have one priest at our church. So We had a communion service today, and I don't know if that counts as a mass for First Friday.
But that's the only, you weren't able to attend mass?
We didn't have a priest to do mass. Mm-hmm. So Our deacon did a communion service.
Right. And you're wondering if it fulfills the Sacred Heart devotions of requirements for that, for the First Friday.
Yes.
Well, you know, we would have to check with head theologian Colin Donovan or Dr. David Anders to get the specifics on those devotions, but the requirements, and if that met the things that we have to do in order to receive some of the benefits and some of the graces. However, just from a common sense level, and if there's any priests listening right now, if you want to comment in on this is how I would take it. Barbara, you didn't have an option to go to Mass. I mean, when you arrived there at Mass, were you aware that there was going to be a communion service, or it just turned into a communion service because Father wasn't there?
This week, all week, and next week, we're only going to have communion services during the week, because it's going to take him 2 weeks to get his visa renewed and get back here, because he had to go all the way to Brazil.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, you received the Eucharist, okay? And that is part of, you know, when devotions, the devotions are these very private things that we enter into for a deeper spiritual, you know, development and understanding. And oftentimes it's to receive Holy Communion. Well, you received Holy Communion. So you received Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that was out of your control because, you know, Father wasn't there. So you had a communion service, but did you receive? Yes. Yeah, you received. Now, you know, obviously it wasn't a mass, but you received Jesus. And that is if that's where you are Yeah, it's a tough situation, Barbara. You got me a little bit stumped there, because I'm using common sense here, and I would say that, you know, if you didn't have an option to go to a mass to fulfill the First Friday obligation, and you showed up and it was a communion service, you did your part. I mean, you made the effort. I would think that the good Lord would recognize that and see that. I mean, He sees everything. What is your gut on it?
Well, I was hoping that because I go to Mass every day, mm-hmm. and all this week we've been having communion service.
Right.
And now tomorrow we will get probably a retired priest to come and do Saturday 5 o'clock Mass.
Mm-hmm.
I know tomorrow will be good, but
right.
I was just wondering if, you know, because... yeah.
Well, you received Holy Communion. If I was in that position, Barbara, this is what I would do. I would say a prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, you saw exactly what happened. We didn't have a priest. We had a communion service. I was going there with the intention to fulfill the First Friday obligation, and I did. And that's a beautiful thing for the devotion. If you choose to do those, you know, 9 consecutive months and all and everything to go to receive, you went and did your part. So that's what I would do. I would share with the Lord that you made the effort and you made the intention to go and be at church, be at Mass, and receive the Eucharist. Now, Mass didn't happen, but the Eucharist did. So I would say, you know, for me, I would be at peace.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I have faith in our Lord, and I know that He knows the situation and mm-hmm. and everything. I just, but you said you wanted to know about people who go to daily Mass, and
yes.
So, you know, I cannot start my day without Jesus at Mass, and I get there an hour before Mass starts, and, we pray the rosary, and then we pray the Divine Mercy after. And, you know, I'm hoping more people will pray Divine Mercy and ask our Lord, pray for the victims of the violence and for their offenders, because He can't give His mercy if we don't ask. But mm-hmm. I believe we can ask for people who don't know about it and or who choose not to ask. We can mm-hmm. still ask.
Right.
You know, mostly right. for the people who don't know it, because a lot of people don't know about it. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I'm going to be 82 now.
Wow.
And I didn't know about Divine Mercy until about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A
mm-hmm.
friend of mine introduced me to Divine Mercy, redemptive suffering, several other things. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even know the promises of Jesus about praying Divine Mercy.
Right. Right. Well, that's why we have our dear friend Rick Paolini on every so often on Take Two, because he, in my opinion, is an expert in that area. And I agree with you, Barbara. We should have known about this devotion of Divine Mercy. Barbara, I have to tell you real quickly, our priests who are friends of Take Two are weighing in very fast. And so I was accurate on this. For the 9 consecutive months of receiving going to First Friday, it's to receive Holy Communion. So you just have to receive Holy Communion. And you did, Barbara. So you did it.
Okay, well, I'll let everyone know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love our priests of Take Two. They come in very quickly to help us. So we were right, Barbara. Way to go. You are a beautiful soul. Love you to pieces. I could talk to you forever. You're amazing. Please call us again, Barbara, from Douglasville, Georgia, listening on The Quest. You hear the music? We're going to take that first important pause. Oh, actually, it's our second. So our second pause here on the break. And we come back. Karen's got a story for us. We'll be right back.
Oh,
Today's show is The Real Presence on this first Friday of the month, and we talk all about the Eucharist, Eucharistic miracles, stories, and Barbara, if you're listening again in Georgia, so many priests weighed in, and they were so pleased at your heart and your devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the first Fridays. So, Barbara, you got a lot of priests there saying, way to go, you are awesome. And real quickly, before we get to Karen, who's in a rush, she's got to tell us this great story. And so we want to hear from Karen from Indiana. But Karen, hold on. If you're listening to us on Real Presence Radio, your EWTN radio station needs to hear from you next week. Real Presence Radio will be airing their fall drive starting Tuesday. So if you're listening in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Wyoming, or anywhere, please support your Catholic radio station. And we get lots of calls from Real Presence Radio, and we're so grateful to them. So Karen in Indiana on Sirius XM 130. Take it away, Karen.
Okay, yes. My son is developmentally delayed, and many years ago, it came time for First Communion. Mm-hmm. And my parents said, oh, he's not going to know what he's getting at communion and blah, blah, blah. Well, I went ahead and went to a different priest, and he said, go ahead. So he's allergic to wheat and all kinds of, he's allergic to all kinds of stuff. So I went ahead and got him. He went to get his first communion. He was, Mom, I can't get my first communion because it's wheat. I'm allergic to it. Mm. So he went up and he received Jesus, didn't have no reaction, and he has never been allergic to wheat since. And he's 35. He's developmentally delayed still, and he's very holy, very close to God. He tries to go to Mass every day when he can. Uh-huh. And I've seen other miracles. He's prayed for people, and they've been cured and stuff like that.
So you're saying that his wheat intolerance was cured after receiving?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that's incredible. That is amazing. Yes. Your son is wow. He is blessed. That is really amazing. So what did it do for you and your faith journey?
Maybe I had faith too, because I told him that God would never let anything happen to him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was both of our faith, but I think it was his too. And he's just so close to God now.
Wow. And you said he's 35 years old?
Right. And he goes and receives communion as often as he can. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks to him and wants to be around him. Mm. And he has been sick much, a lot, and people, I believe that, you know, God doesn't mean for him to be healed, because he's such an example and to other people, mm-hmm. and he's met so many people, so it's just beautiful.
Can you give us his first name, Karen?
Yes, Luke. I have a Matthew, Mark, and this one's Luke.
I love it. Karen, can you ask Luke to pray for the Take Two family intentions?
I will. Yeah, we hearing he's right here with
me. Oh, Luke. Will. Thank you, Luke. Thank you so much.
Will.
Okay. We appreciate it so very much. We believe in the power of prayer, and you are definitely blessed, Luke. Thank you. Oh, wow, Karen, what a great story. Pretty amazing. And God has been good to you guys. I mean, he's been very close to you guys. That's incredible. Keep up the journey. I just love it. You guys, it sounds like you're driving together, so you're traveling together, so that's good. Safe driving, Karen. Call us again, okay?
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Bless. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Wow. See, we got a Eucharistic miracle right there. Brian in Fargo, North Dakota, on our friends at Real Presence Radio. Brian, you're up next.
Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, see, the first time I was raised Catholic, but the first time I was at a traditional Latin Mass, and they elevated the host, and they rang the church bells.
Wow.
I don't know. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, I know. I mean, you could hear a pin drop too, which is so beautiful. I mean, everybody gets very quiet, very focused. Isn't it just so beautiful? And there's that moment where you really can feel heaven and earth, you know, touching. It is incredible. And to know that our Lord is truly present, and we as the faithful get to open ourselves up in a way that brings him into us in such intimacy. You know, everybody knows how it's so essential and so important for us to eat, right? We take in food for nourishment. We take in food for strength. We take in food to be able to live. Well, we're taking Jesus inside of us so that we may have life, and we may have life to the full, like Jesus said. Brian, you are so awesome. I agree with you. When they elevate the host, I am just so moved so many times with emotion, with joy. I almost want to just, you know, scream out amen, you know, in a loud voice. And it should be a stern voice when we say amen, when we believe. And it really should be something we're very certain about and very focused on. I'm right with you, Brian. I feel the same way. It's very powerful. And God bless you for sharing that, because we need more men. And I'm saying this in a general way. We need more men to share about their faith. And you just did that, Brian. So I'm sure you helped many souls today.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, it's all about you, because this is what Take Two is all about. It's all about everybody that calls in and shares their stories. Brian, have a beautiful rest of your day in Fargo, North Dakota. Wow, we've got full phone lines here, guys. I knew you could shout it to the world, all about the Eucharist. Let's hear what Jeanette has to say. And Jeanette's in Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing so well.
I have a Mother Teresa miracle story.
Tell us.
My twin sister was in Mother Teresa's order. She lived with her. She never took her final vows. Mother Teresa had told her that God had a different plan for her. So she lived with her for quite a few years, but then came back home. She met a guy who was also going to be a priest. And the two of them got married. They've been married for a long time now. And they couldn't get pregnant. So 5 years into it, she went to go visit Mother Teresa when she was in the area. They said, "We don't have any money. We're dirt poor. We really want to adopt a child. Do you have any organizations or funding to adopt a child?" And she said, "Oh, no, dear. This time next year, you're going to have your own child." And my saintly niece was born. She's a Eucharist. She's a music minister of her parish. She's 28 years old.
Right.
And my brother-in-law is also he works at the church for work. And then they adopted their niece, who the mother had tried to abort.
Mm.
So they're just a really holy family. But Mother Teresa predicted that. And on her first birthday, they brought her to Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa blessed her and ran pictures of that.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
She's like an amazing young woman. So, yeah. A beautiful story. So for anybody trying to get pregnant, Mother Teresa was such an advocate of the poor and the unborn.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing story. I don't know if you got to hear the story that I tried to tell again. I think I got it a little messed up on the details, but about how Mother Teresa just jumped up and kept wanting everyone to be part of the Mass. And, you know, I just love the fact that, she just cared so much about people's lives, like, you know, she did with your sister, right? You know, she just cared
absolutely.
So much. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
It's incredible. No, I'm with you on that. If you're suffering, you know, from you know, infertility or something of that nature, or I know that. I keep saying Mother Angelica, because Mother Angelica is also part of our powerhouse team that we pray to before every show. But Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta, you know, it is so important that we realize that she also was very strong in bringing people back home. What I mean by that is people that are that have left their homes and have now lived on the streets. She was very big at reconnecting people. So that's another, like, if you have a family member that's homeless living on the streets, go to St. Teresa of Calcutta because she cares. Right, Jeanette?
Oh, that's beautiful. That's very beautiful. Yes.
Yeah,
there's so many of them out there these days. There's so much mental illness and so many people that reject their family because of mental illness.
Yes, I know. I know. What a great story. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. God bless you.
Have a nice day.
You too. You too. Thank you so much, Jeanette. Okay, I need to go back to Barbara, our first caller. In Georgia, Barbara, the Take Two family wanted, and I think I said it when you were on the line, that we have done several episodes on Divine Mercy and promoting the Divine Mercy devotions, mainly through our dear friend Rick Paolini, and also we've had Father Chris Alar on. Father Donald Calloway has been on. I mean, we've had, so we are big on Divine Mercy here. And I agree with you. We need to not wait. We need to catechize on these devotions because they are very powerful, very important. I know that we've got, one of our priest, friends of Take Two that's getting screened right now. So we'll be hearing from Father Brown shortly. So that's wonderful. Angie in Minnesota on Sirius XM 130. You're up next. Angie, are you with us?
Oh, I'm here, yes. Hi, I thank you so much for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. You go right ahead.
I have a Eucharistic miracle story. 2009, my mom and I visited the Eucharistic miracles display that was traveling through our city here. And it was the first time I had been to Eucharistic adoration. And it was so beautiful, and I just felt very drawn to it. I had never been before. I was watching how my mom, you know, did the postures and whatnot, and continued on after that going to Eucharistic adoration. And after that event, I did buy the book, so I had the compilation of the Eucharistic miracles at hand all the time. And I've used that book over the years to show other people stories from there and read it myself. And it just, my love of the Eucharist and my love of adoration has grown just in bits and pieces all along since that time. And in fact, about a year ago, I was part of a team that brought perpetual adoration to our parish.
There you go.
And it just was something I kept feeling drawn to and drawn to. And then just this past August, I had the opportunity to be in Italy for a pilgrimage with the same parish. We were supposed to be there for the canonization of Frassati, but as we all know, that got changed to this weekend. But just being in Italy and experiencing Rome for the first time just was so beautiful. And I've been reading up on Frassati and Carlo Acutis. And so last night I went to my Eucharistic Miracles book that I've had for 16 years. And I turned to the front page, and sure enough, the very first sentence says something to the effect of, thank you, Carlo Acutis, for starting this. And, you know, goes on and on about how he was the first person to put it on the internet. And they had, when that book was published, they had just recently opened his cause for canonization. So it just feels full circle to me that since 2009, this whole story has just been brewing in my life, and I don't believe in coincidences. I'm trying to make something of all these facts that have just come to light, and I think the takeaway that I have is that God brings us to him even when we don't know it, and we need to be patient, that his love is always there. We need to open ourselves up to his will, and when we do that, wonderful, beautiful things happen, and it can take 16 minutes, or it can be a story that spans across 16 years. But we need to know his love is always open and available to us, and that we need to be patient. So,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Angie. You're amazing. Thank you for sharing from your heart today. And thank you for helping to start Perpetual Adoration. I don't know how long you've been listening to Take Two, but I've been saying it for 10 years that the churches, the dioceses that have Perpetual Adoration, it's a game changer. It's a spiritual game changer. There's so the depth of spirituality that happens when you have Perpetual Adoration right on your parish campus, incredible. So Angie, way to go. You're a beautiful soul. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
You too. You too, Angie. Thank you. Okay, our dear friend, Father Doug Brown is with us from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Father Brown, I don't know if you heard when Barbara called in, she was asking about a communion service, if she met the fulfillment of the First Friday devotions. And we had a lot of priests weigh in, and they said, yes, she did. So do you want to confirm that?
Absolutely, yes, sure she did, because the requirements are, again, to be in a state of grace, to receive Holy Communion, and to do some kind of devotional prayers to the Sacred Heart. So absolutely she did.
Thank you, Father Brown. You are awesome. So tell us, I see here on the screen, it says you've actually had a Eucharistic miracle experience?
Well, I believe that I did. So I've been familiar with all the Eucharistic miracles, and you hear, continually the stories of a priest will be celebrating Mass and maybe struggling with disbelief, and he'll look down on the altar where the consecrated host is, and it turns into, a piece of flesh. And I've often said how frightened I would be if that happened to me. I'd be scared to death. I'd be like, oh my gosh, what is this? So about 6 months after I was ordained, and when you're first ordained, you're all filled with this, like, wow, I'm consecrating bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And again, knowing, of course, that it is Christ working through me, but that my hands are his hands at that moment. And it's a beautiful, and it's overwhelming to consider at times. But probably 6 months after I was ordained, maybe I was getting lax about it. Maybe I was taking it for granted. I don't know. But there was one day I was distributing Holy Communion. I was on a Sunday, and I picked up the host to give to somebody, body of Christ, and there was blood on it. And I was shocked, and I stopped for a second, and then I was like, but just keep going, just keep going. So I gave the host to that person. I don't know if they noticed it or saw it or anything. They consumed it. I don't know, but that, that kind of brought me back to reality, right? To the great experience of a priest whose hands consecrate bread and wine. Wow.
Wow. Father Brown, when that happened to you, obviously it kind of probably shocked you and startled you. And you're probably thinking, am I really seeing this, right? Am I really
yes.
witnessing this? When you close your eyes, do you think about that miracle again? Or when you are celebrating Mass, does it come back to you at all?
Yes, absolutely. All the time. And this was, I've been a priest for about 18 and a half years now. So this was about 18 years ago. If I was 6 months a priest, it was about 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it was something that has remained with me, that has stayed with me. And I don't want to say I hope I never experience that again, but, and I don't know if that was a question of faith on my part. I've spent a lot of time praying about it, reflecting upon it, all of that, but it was an amazing experience.
I was going to say, amazing. What a gift to you as a priest. Because you can always think back to that, and that's something that'll, I can feel the Holy Spirit as I'm saying this. You can feel that how God loves you so much as a priest, Father, that he gave you that visual gift for you.
I've thanked him for it plenty of times in my own personal prayer, and said, what a grace that was that day to receive that and kind of jolt me out of my complacency and recognizing that I never can take for granted what the Church and through the power of Christ I'm able to do.
Wow. Father Brown, you're amazing. Thank you so much for all you do for us. And I know the parishioners at Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland, they just love you. And you do so much for AM 1260 The Rock, the Catholic affiliate there, radio station. Amazing. So Father Brown, wow, this was a really big gift to all of us today that you as a priest shared this with us. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Really, and thanks for a great show. You guys are putting on a great show today. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Father Brown. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to get to Blake in Jupiter, Florida, and Jean, hopefully in Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe she knows Father Brown, too. We'll ask Jean that. But Blake, hold on. I wanted to share Mass of Ordination. This is on a special for EWTN, Mass of Ordination and Installation for Reverend Simon Peter Engerate as the sixth bishop of Homa Thibodeau, Louisiana. It's this Friday afternoon. That's today, Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, EWTN Radio Extra. So you can see that beautiful, you can hear that beautiful Mass. And it's amazing. I love when our bishops get installed. So that is amazing. Saturday, EWTN canonization special. EWTN's canonization special with Colin Flynn takes you live to Rome for all the preparation to welcome Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati into the family of saints. Saturday afternoon, 1 Eastern on EWTN Radio. It's encores at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Please catch all of these events that are happening through EWTN, be a part of it. I know we can't maybe get to Italy by now, so that we can watch it, we can listen, we can be a part of the canonizations. Very, very powerful. And also, guys, Unfiltered is starting tomorrow with Adam Bly. We are doing an Unfiltered program through Stand Tall. So you can, if you want to jump in on that, you have to do it today. It's at standtalltoday.com, standtalltoday.com. And the spirit world is 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. And we're talking about dogma versus doctrine and what that means. Okay, Jean is up next from Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, I'm sorry. Jean, hold on. I got to get to Blake. Blake from Jupiter, Florida, Sirius XM 130. Blake, I thought maybe I lost you, but you're there. So you go right ahead.
I am here. Thank you, Miss Debbie. And it's very appropriate to follow a priest because I was calling to just give thanks for all the people who have heard the call and vocation of being a priest. Because without a priest, the Eucharist is, we're going to have a hard time getting it.
That's correct.
And so at Mass, I am so thankful for priests because they are the cornerstone of us receiving the grace of God, this miraculous mystery that we're able to commune with our Holy Father through this holy sacrament of communion.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Blake. And they bring us the sacraments. Absolutely. That's why we need to pray for our priests. We need to pray for families to encourage the vocation to the priesthood. We need to support families in that, support young men, and give them the proper catechesis to look towards the priesthood as a vocation. You're right, Blake. And there should be less complaining about priests. I mean, a lot of people kind of complain that, you know, maybe if we have some foreign priests, you can't understand them. They bring us the sacraments, Blake, and we need the sacraments.
It's impossible to put into words that the gift that God gives us to be able to receive the grace of physically consuming is done.
I mean, you're right.
Every time it blows me away.
Me too. Me too, Blake. I feel the same way. It's amazing. It's incredible. Your mind can't even comprehend what the experience is like because it is so enormous and it speaks to our soul. Blake, I'm right with you. You are awesome. Thank you so much. I wish I could talk to you longer, but I promised Jean I would get her in. She's the last caller for today. Blake, thank you so much for waiting and getting on air with us. Jean from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Do you know Father Brown, Jean?
Well, I don't know him really personally, but I have been to some of his masses during COVID. So,
nice.
You know,
nice.
I definitely know who he is, and I listened to some of the when you had your fundraising shows on The Rock. I listen cool. in, you know, when I can.
Oh, thank you. Well, you have the last minute, so you go right ahead.
Okay, so this miracle, at least it was to me, happened at one of the charismatic conferences that we have every year. And at that time, the priest was Father DeGrandis, and he had come from the Birmingham Diocese, and he felt it was a Eucharistic miracle, but it hadn't really been approved by his bishop yet. But I went up to it, and I was feeling along the door, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, you stupid, you know you're not going to be able to, you know, feel it. It's going to be hidden in there. But when I felt along the door, all of a sudden, it came to a really hot spot. It was hot. And not only that, but my index finger started to move. And at first, it kind of scared me because I thought, oh, Lord, I'm hurting you. So I took my hand away, but the director of the woman that actually was in charge of planning the conference came over to me and said, oh, Jean, that was fine. You know, he just wanted you to be able to show you. So that
wow.
just really, yeah. I'm totally blind since, you know, oh. well, since birth. So totally.
Yeah. Well, Jean, that was a gift for you. That's amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for wrapping up this wonderful First Friday Real Presence episode of Take Two. Great job, Jean, and all the other callers. You guys are amazing. You did shout to the world how much you love the Eucharist. And Jesus is truly present in the Most Holy Eucharist. Way to go. Thanks to the show team, Matt, Michael, and Pedro. You guys are amazing. And now you guys can get started with your weekend, but make sure you pick up the coverage with EWTN all about the canonizations. Until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.